Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for staying with me. Thanks for hanging out with me. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad you're here. And you are going to be glad you hung around, because I got something very special for you coming up straight ahead. Our good friend, Congressman Steve Chabot, is with us, ladies and gentlemen. Steve, Congressman Chabot is the ranking member of the House Small Business Committee. He hails from the 1st District of Ohio, which is the Southern District in the Cincinnati area, and he's been representing that district for a number of years now. Does a great job. He's a great American and a member of our Brain Trust, and our good friend, Congressman Chabot. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, it's great to be with you and your listeners, Jim. And well, it's always an honor to be on your show, because you serve the group that I think is probably the backbone of the country, and that's small business people.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, and you're exactly right. Small business owners are the most important people in the marketplace, and the most underappreciated. You know, a lot of people give lip service to that. You don't. You actually work hard for small business owners, Congressman. But a lot of people say that, but then they turn around and nobody does anything for small business, even though we've signed the front of more paychecks than anybody in the country.
That's for sure. 70% of the jobs nowadays, on average, are created by small business folks. And
yeah.
But they're overtaxed and they're overregulated, and we need litigation reform and a whole range of things. But you're right, people say things, but then following through oftentimes is another matter.
You know, I've been doing a little math of my own on the impact, the size of small business, Congressman, and there are 70 million employees of small business in America. If you add on to that all the independent contractors and the sole proprietors, which total around 25 million, you're approaching 100 million. One-third of the U.S. population, Congressman Chabot, is associated as an employee or an owner of small business. That's a lot of Americans. And you know, I've never heard anybody else use those numbers. I bounced those off of some of my other experts, some of my other economist friends, and they tell me that, you know, basically that's correct. That's a lot of folks that I think some of your members of Congress would be surprised to hear that there's that many folks.
It is. That's an awful lot of folks. And, you know, that's why it's kind of interesting to me what I keep hearing up here in Washington, especially by some of the, shall we say, big government liberal types. They keep saying that we need to raise taxes or do away with the tax breaks that were put in effect a few years ago. But they're only going to do it on the wealthy or the rich. Well, those are the ones hit. Now, what they don't tell you is that an awful lot of those so-called wealthy people are the small business folks who basically, you know, 85% of small business folks have their taxes paid as individuals. And
even if they're incorporated, they're probably an S-corp, but that income from the business becomes their personal income.
That's right. But the liberals up here, when they talk about, we're just talking about the wealthiest 2%, which is baloney because it's a lot bigger percentage than that, you know, they act like we're just going to, you know, we're going to tax Ross Perot or Bill Gates or one of these guys. We're really talking about the small business owners throughout small communities and bigger communities all over this country. Those are the people whose taxes we're talking about going up. And these are smart people, so what they'll do is they'll just be less productive. Rather than putting that money back into expanding their business or hiring more people, it'll go into municipal bonds or overseas investments. It'll just go elsewhere, and then it hurts this country. So when we raise taxes on small business folks, we're really hurting the entire country.
Well, there's no question about it. And you know, Congressman Chabot, I've asked small business owners, this is a genetic thing, I think, for entrepreneurs. I've asked small business owners in the United States. I've asked them in Europe. I've asked them in a number of countries this question. If you had more money, if you had some of the money you pay in taxes to be left in your business, that you didn't have to pay it out in taxes, what would you do with that money? And without blinking, without hesitation, every single one I've ever asked that would said immediately, I would put it back in my business.
Right. That's right.
And what that means is they're buying more technology, they're hiring more people, they're growing their business, which in turn pays more taxes.
That's exactly right. When we cut taxes or don't raise them on small business folks in this country, in essence, we're growing the economy, we're creating more jobs for people at lower income levels, and it's more likely that they'll be productive citizens who are paying taxes and supporting our country instead of receiving unemployment or welfare or something else. So it just makes sense to keep taxes as low as possible
yep.
on as many people as we can. That grows the economy and helps everybody.
Well, a lot of people don't understand how the economy works, folks. It's like Mr. Newton said, every action has an equal or opposite reaction. You raise taxes, you may solve one problem, but you create a bunch of others. 20 till, right back with Congressman Steve Shabbat. He's one of us, ladies and gentlemen. 20 after. Stay 20 till, I should say. Stay with us. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Check them out. Use it to your advantage. No barriers to entry. Smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Congressman Steve Shabbat is with us, ladies and gentlemen. He's congressman from the 1st District of Ohio, the Cincinnati area, ranking member of the House Small Business Committee, and that makes him one of our champions up there on the Capitol Hill. And Congressman Shabbat, for all that you do for small business owners, we thank you.
Well, it's awful nice of you to say that, Jim. And while we're complimenting people, let me ask you something here, too. I know your son is one of those heroes. He's a United States Marine, and he yep. served in Iraq, and I think he's back now. But how he's doing, I can't tell you how much I respect, you know, men like your son, and then women as well who serve our country honorably.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. Yeah, he did two tours in Iraq, and I'm very proud of him. But you know what? There's a lot of people like him, and he'd be the first to tell you that he's one of thousands and thousands who are willing to put themselves in harm's way and their lives on hold in order to serve their country. And as long as we got people like that, Congressman Shabbat, this country is going to be okay. But we need to make sure that one of the things, if I could say one thing that I think I wish the Bush administration had done that they didn't do, there are a few others, but one specifically, is they should have gotten all of us more invested in what went on over there. I mean, there's a lot of people who are in their 20s who don't even really know what's going on in Iraq right now, and I think that's unfortunate.
Well, you're right, and a lot of people, you know, kind of buy the propaganda about we just went over there to steal their oil and Bush
yeah.
lied and all that stuff that you hear over and over again. We got to impeach Bush. And I, you know, I'm a Republican, and Bush is a Republican, and I agree with him on a lot of things, and I disagree with him on some things. But, you know, the bottom line is what you can argue till the cows come home whether we should have gone in or we shouldn't have gone in. We're there. The surge
yeah.
worked.
Let's win.
And we're going to have an honorable outcome on this thing, and we ought to absolutely respect those, whatever you thought about the war itself, respect those that put their lives on hold and went over there and put their lives at risk and fought for this country and folks like your son. And that's,
well,
we got to thank them every day.
Absolutely. Well, you know, the thing is, I think what you know, what could be a bad thing about having a country in the middle of that neighborhood over there that is democratically structured?
Yeah, that's what we want to see happen.
And it'll be, and if they pull it off, it'll be between two groups that used to be at each other's throat. I mean,
that's exactly right, and they should be an ally for a long time. And one of the
we need to make sure that happens, though, Congressman. We need to make sure that we continue to be able to they continue to be an ally. We don't need to fritter that away, so we can continue to have bases there to be able to pursue to protect our interests around the world. By being in that country, I think we should be there for a long time, frankly. Not as an occupier, but as an ally of those organizations, like we have in other countries.
That's exactly right, and the relationship that we'll have over the long term will be very different than it was with, say, Saddam, who was a bitter enemy of this country. And
yeah.
You know, and when you look at that region of the world, it is so important because of oil. Not that we want to take their oil, but we need to have stability. And that's right. What we've not seen in the last year or so, when we've seen these oil prices just skyrocket, which has had a huge impact on the economy, including the small business community.
Well, no question about that. Speaking of which, President Bush recently threw down the gauntlet to the Democrats, the Democrat leadership, and said he wanted to lift the executive ban on drilling on offshore.
Tell us
where all that is right now.
Well, this was something that was passed many years ago before I got here. There was both an executive ban on drilling in the Outer Continental Shelf and a congressional ban, and the president withdrew the ban several weeks ago. And interestingly enough, we saw an immediate effect at the gas pump. The prices came down per barrel by about $15 a barrel, almost 20.
It's down now over $20.
That's right, over 20 now. And most people attribute that directly to that action on the president's part. Now, in reality, it doesn't matter. We don't get any more oil from that unless Congress does it too. But it certainly sent a message, and it also showed that there is some speculation in these markets. So if Congress would withdraw that ban on drilling in the Outer Continental Shelf, even if we don't see that oil for a few years, you'll see an immediate impact in the market, because people that are buying these oil futures, they're looking at what do we think it's going to be down the road.
Future, that's what futures means.
That's exactly right. And when you put huge amounts of oil off limits, like in the Outer Continental Shelf, where we think we have at least 86 billion barrels of oil, and up in Anwar, up in that frozen tundra area that nobody goes to, but that has also been put off limits, which is about 16 billion, if you allowed us to drill in those areas, which I think we ought to do, I think you'd see an immediate impact in the price, and we ought to be doing it, because it's silly for us to handcuff ourselves and be so dependent upon foreign energy.
Boone Pickens says we're sending $700 billion a year to people who don't like us.
Yeah, that's right, and probably everybody's seen his ads. He's bought a lot of ads, and I agree with him in one respect. Although I want to be careful on one thing he says. He says, you know, drilling isn't an answer. Well, that's part of the answer.
What he said was, we can't drill our way out of this. And I think he means that from the standpoint of, we've got to do a lot of different things.
Right. We have to also have additional technology and emphasis on wind and solar and biomass hydrogen cars.
But we have our own resources here that we can depend upon and not be sending them to other people. Why don't we do that? Why don't we take advantage of that? But it's not just Congress. Even if Congress passes this thing and lifts the bans, then they got to deal with the environmentalists, Congressman.
Well, that's right. And you know, the interesting thing, Jim, Speaker Pelosi and sort of the liberal talking points up here for a while was, well, we're not drilling on the 68 million acres that they have available to them right now. Well, the fact is, a lot of those acres are tied up in lawsuits.
That's exactly right. Hold on to that thought, Congressman Shepard. We'll take a quick break. Congressman Shepard is our guest. He's with the 1st District of Ohio. He and I will be right back. Stay with us. We're back. It's 7 till. Little Chicago bringing us back. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Congressman Steve Chabot, the ranking member of the Small Business Committee in the House of Representatives, the congressman for the 1st District of Ohio in the Cincinnati area. Congressman, just to finish up quickly, the thought on the topic of drilling on the outer shelf and in getting oil out of the ground out of the United States area, so we can become more self-sufficient, and hopefully just the intent of doing this, I think, will have a lot to do with lowering the price of oil, which we've already seen that. I mean, there's no question the speculation has been helping to drive the price up, along with supply and demand issues. But the problem is that Speaker Pelosi won't even let a vote come to the floor.
That's exactly right, and it's very unfortunate, because I think if a vote occurred, it would pass overwhelmingly here in the House.
So that means she's got Democrats willing to vote for this who won't do it because she's so beholden to the environmentalists.
That's exactly right. Now, she represents, we always have to remember, her district is San Francisco, probably the most liberal town in the country, or one of the most liberal, and she probably represents her district fairly well. But when you think that she's the leader of the entire country's Congress, and she continues to block at the behest of the radical environmentalists us having more oil, and the impact that's had on the country is most unfortunate. So what I've been doing, Jim, I've been encouraging people in my district to send me their gas receipts, and I've been ambushing her on the floor of the House and giving them to her and saying, hey, Nancy, these are people in my district that are mad, and they want us to have a vote to open up Anwar, the Outer Continental Shelf, as well as wind and solar and all the other renewable things.
What are the chances that we could get a vote?
At this point, with a relatively short time we have to go before the election, I wish they were a lot better than they are. She so far has been just dug in her heels, but I'm going to keep trying. I'm not going to give
up. What if could the president call a special session in August?
He could. I don't think that.
Why wouldn't that be a good idea?
Make him
come back and just debate
a lot
that.
Of people's plans for working in their district, or maybe taking some time off with families, and he's already not endeared by Congress. Although Congress, if you look at the only group that's at lower ratings than the president is the Congress.
I heard Nancy Pelosi, without any sense of irony, talking about what a failure President Bush's administration had been. I thought, have you seen your own ratings, madam?
That's a good point. I think the highest we saw him lately was about 14%, and I think his were in the 20s. So
speaking of that a little bit, though, folks, there are a few Republicans who are on the target list. I mean, these are people, obviously, who are doing, at least one of them that I know, is doing a great job for small business owners. And for that, because they're holding up the highest standards for what they can do to help small business owners, they're being targeted by the other party with some outside influencers, outside money, to try to get them defeated. And Congressman Shabbat, you're one of nine members of Congress who are on that list. I know this is a lot of problems for you, but I actually want to congratulate you and tell you how proud I am that you're on that list. You must be doing something right.
Well, thank you, Jim. I wish they were running the ads against you instead of me. But just kidding there. But the latest has been, just as of Monday, we've got an outside special interest group that dropped $200,000 on television.
Wow.
The ad is ridiculous, a complete distortion. But the group, interestingly enough, is AFSCME, the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees. So, in other words,
a union.
Government workers' unions, right? The government workers. Unions have been going down in this country, membership for years, except for one sector, mm-hmm. the government. You know, the government right. continues to grow, so the union membership grows. They don't like me because they want more government and higher taxes, and they know that I'm for less government and lower taxes, so I'm way at the top of their list. And so they've run an ad, you know, completely distorting my record, but we're used to it, and it happens almost every 2 years, and I think we'll withstand this onslaught as we do the others. But you do have to, you know, you have to work hard, and you have
right.
to make sure that most people understand where you stand on the issues, and they know I'm for less government, lower taxes, and more personal responsibility. That's what I stand for, and will continue to.
Well, there's one of our friends, Steve Malanga, wrote a book called The New Left. And he's talking about that group you were just talking about, the municipal unions. But Congressman, as long as I'm confident you're going to do well this year. I know you're up in the polls, even though they've been dumping all this negative stuff on you. But you keep sticking to your principles, which are to support small business owners. And I think you'll be fine as long as you stick to those principles. Thank you for your service. Thank you for your leadership. And thank you for the time that you give us every so often.
Thank you, Jim. It's great to be with you and your listeners. And God bless small businesses.
Thank you, sir. Congressman Steve Shabbat, ladies and gentlemen, he is one of our champions on Capitol Hill, and we appreciate him very much. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you that when opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you've had a bad day. Greet it with a smile.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.